You care about helping others learn and grow, and now you can make an even greater difference. The Ohio State University's fully online master's in applied behavior analysis prepares you to help learners with disabilities thrive. You'll develop the skills to use evidence-based interventions that enhance learning outcomes and foster independence, all in a flexible format designed for working professionals. With growing demand for board-certified behavior analysts, this online program helps you prepare for what's next without pausing your life. If you're ready to expand your impact, Ohio State is ready to support your next step. Visit go.osu.edu/behavioranalysis.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/N365Copilot.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Hunting Gear Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and today we have an episode that we don't often have, and it's about firearms. Now, I'm not a firearm guy, and I've always found my interest when it comes to hunting in archery equipment, right? Compound bows, and that's it. Well, all that is starting to change. Recently, I bought a muzzle loader. Haven't taken it out on a hunt yet, but I understand the value of it. It's something different. And as I get older and my knees become shittier and shittier, it's going to force me to start thinking about other options to keep the hunt alive, so to speak. So today we're going to be talking with Skip Davidson from Gunworks, and this is a unique episode because, number one, I don't know shit about guns, but the way that they have their company set up, I can see it really benefiting someone who doesn't have the time to dig into all of the the bells and whistles and turrets and scopes and what ammunition to use, so forth and so on. And so I really like the concept where, hey man, I need some help. I look at Gunworks like a customer service for people who want to have an awesome rifle. And we talk a little bit about some other things too, like what is the definition of long range shooting? At what distance is an ethical kill as far as, hunting is concerned. And so it's a really fun and interesting episode. I like these episodes because I myself, as the interviewer, is outside of my comfort zone. And so, again, really good conversation. But before we get into today's episode, we're going to do a commercial block here and Code Blue. All right. So Code Blue Sense. Code Blue Sense has a variety of real and synthetic deer urines, scent elimination products like laundry detergent, soaps, shampoos, that kind of stuff, sprays. And then on top of that, they have one of my favorite is the Rope-A-Dope. It's a mock scrape kit that allows you to hang a blue rope in a tree, put some preorbital scent on it, and make a mock scrape. And then what I do is I pair that with a trail camera, and that trail camera takes pictures of the deer that have come to visit that mock scrape. The cool part about that is it allows you to have inventory without having to drop a bunch of feed down. And so I'm a huge fan. I've started to implement the mock scrape into my hunting strategy now quite a bit. Several places throughout the farm where I pair a mock scrape with a trail camera, and I get to see a lot of action throughout the course of the year. So if you want to find out more information about Code Blue, go visit codebluesense.com. I do have a discount code for a purchase, and that is NFC20. Now, next on the list is if you run a feeder, like a spin cast feeder, or you hunt in states where feeding wildlife or setting up a bait station or a feeder is legal, you got to check out the Feed Hub. Now, the Feed Hub is a device that connects to any spin cast feeder, and it allows you to remotely control and on demand manage your feeder. You can check feed levels, you can schedule feedings, you can run an unclog cycle. And what this does is it allows you to basically be more efficient with your feeders. You track the feed, that way you're not guessing when it's empty, and you can manage your time better, especially for those who live, let's say, over an hour away from their farms, and you need to have it scheduled in order to go check or go to the farm and things like that. So it just makes it real easy. All of this happens on the Moultrie mobile app. So if you run Moultrie mobile trail cameras, cell cams, you can manage your cameras and the Feed Hub in one location on the Moultrie mobile app. So for more information, go to MoultrieMobile.com and check out the Feed Hub. Next on the list is the Reveal trail cameras. I'm a huge fan of these cameras, guys, hands down, or head, like straight up. These cameras are badass. It took me 15 minutes to set up eight cell cams. And you do that by basically opening the box, scanning a QR code, hitting a couple clicks in the Tacticam or the Reveal app, where you can, you know, check all your trail cameras. You can set image times. You can, long story short, you're running a trail camera from your phone, and when it takes a picture, it sends it back to your phone. Simple. It's designed to function like really good high quality cell cameras should function. Okay. So the best thing to do is, in order to go check out the new version of the Reveal, the 3.0 series, go to tacticam.com/cameras. And that's going to give you a ton of information on how these operate, their price point, the bells and whistles, you know, all of the functions in the scope of this, of these trail cameras. So go check them out. Code Blue, Feed Hub, Reveal. Huge shout out to all the companies that support this podcast. Now, let's get into today's episode with Skip Davidson from Gunworks. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Hunting Gear Podcast. Today, I am joined by Skip Davidson from Gunworks. Now, this is going to be interesting because, as everybody knows who's listened to this podcast or the Nine Finger Chronicles podcast before, I'm not a gun guy. right? I don't claim to know anything about guns. I'm not a professional. I know that where you load a 20 gauge and where to point it when I go turkey hunting. But outside of that, if we're going to talk about in-depth rifle analysis and all these big buzzwords when it comes to shooting a gun, I'm not the guy. So, but we do have a professional here today. Skip, how are we doing today?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I've talked with some guys who are avid gun hunters. Some of them are hardcore coyote guys, like predator hunting, bear, elk, Western guys, even like your Southeast guys who have the rifle seasons, and they're hunting like power line cuts, basically. And every so often I'll hear them talk about Gunworks. Okay. And so I know you guys are notable. You guys have a big imprint on the industry and things like that. And so I think the best place for us to start is at the very beginning of this, in chronological order in the time, in this timeline. And, Skip, why don't you talk to us first off about, who you are and what your role is, at Gunworks, and then we'll get into the rest of it.
I'm going to give you the short version. Mm-hmm. I'm the founder of Gunworks. I started this business almost 20 years ago, just out of college, finished an engineering degree, and absolutely did not want to move to a big city.
Yeah.
Was running a construction business through college, ran it for a few years after college, and had enough of a nest egg, a low threshold of fear, and said, let's go. Saw an opportunity to do something pretty cool. I got into guns and cool guns and hunting the world, and the concept of that rifle system in the box that these continental and European and British, you know, explorers were taking all over the world to kind of colonize and kind of get a little hunting trips on the side while they're working. And that idea, you know, of this kit is kind of what started the whole Gunworks program. In college, you know, I got into reloading, I got into setting up rifles and kind of connecting that with my education. You know, I got pretty bored with shooting small groups out of a gun. Like, you'd get a load worked up, you'd shoot a small group, and it's like, well, that's the end of that. All of a sudden that gun is boring. And I believe Colonel Hatcher said only accurate rifles are interesting, or he finds accurate rifles interesting. And you have to understand the difference between precision and accuracy. And precision is shooting small groups. Accuracy is hitting what you're shooting at. And that's where you start getting into this long range idea of, okay, I've got this rifle that shoots nice small groups, but I want to shoot that target that's at 530 yards or 715 yards. And when I was in college, you couldn't buy a ballistic calculator. There weren't apps on phones that did your ballistics for you. Like, the access to that information just didn't really exist that much. Laser range finders that we could use to measure distances only really started showing up in the late 90s. You know, that brick of a Leica was kind of like the first one that would give you a distance at 700 or 800 yards. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, this equation of calculating the ballistics was missing. So to me, I felt like it was a wide open frontier to find the right solutions and package them up as a turnkey rifle system. And we're talking optic, we're talking ballistics, we're talking ammunition, rifle, everything, and turn it over to somebody, just like in the world travelers from 150 years ago, that were all over the world doing the coolest adventures everywhere. Just like that, they would take that box and it had their reloading kit, their sights were regulated out to 500-600 yards, everything ready to go.
Yeah.
That's where Gunworks started. And that's essentially what we do, is we sell a turnkey rifle system that has been tested, vetted, set up, tuned, you know, ballistics calibrated, and we sell it with, you know, bipods, rear bags, you know, ballistic correcting range finders, ballistic turrets, you know, scopes, gun, kit, everything, ammo.
Yeah.
And we handle all of that. We hand it over to the customer. Now, he doesn't have to waste any time saying, well, crap, is that my load? Is that my scope? Is it my bedding? Is it this? Is it that? Because dealing with that stuff does not make you a better shooter. Like, dealing with that stuff doesn't do anything in improving your skills. We get it to where all you have to do as a shooter is learn how to get set up with your equipment management, aiming, you know, trigger, you know, fundamentals, all just basic marksmanship fundamentals, and then add on top of that this art of reading the wind, and we allow you to just carve out all the rest of that crap and focus on those core things that are really the true shooting skills.
Yeah.
And get way up that learning curve so much faster. That's what we do, and that's why we do it.
Okay. So when you're sitting in your, you know, when you're sitting at college and you're working this construction job, and I don't know about you, but when I started my company, I was at work, not doing work. I was thinking about what I wanted to do outside of work. And so I always love this next step. That is from idea or concept to actual creation of the business. What was that like for you in Gunworks?
We're still creating our business. So what is it like for us at Gunworks? There was this crossover nexus where we found initial success. We filmed our hunts. We showed how you could actually do this and be successful. And a lot of people just didn't realize, you know, what the potential was, what their potential could be. And so showing that on a TV program, showing that on video, we were real early on YouTube. That was a pretty exciting thing for a lot of people. And it was almost, there's a lot of guys that called BS. You know, like they didn't believe that it was that possible, or, you know, that, oh, well, that's those guys, they're experts, but how does that work for me? So I think that was a really big part of getting the industry moving in this direction, was showing that it's actually possible and being willing to take the hit. That was the early days of cancel culture. Like, if you were a long range shooter, you were on the outside of the norm and very at risk of being canceled by people inside of our industry. So that was a risk that existed there.
For what reasons? Canceled for what reasons?
Taking long range shots. It's unethical. According to some, you know, I mean, I think when we started, what we brought to the table was this idea of a combined system and the willingness to do the work to combine it. Because where everybody else was at the time was they'd build this awesome gun and they would send it to the customer, and the customer had to put a scope on it. Customer had to get a load going. You know, customer had to make all this stuff going. And when something wasn't right, everybody just start pointing fingers. Well, that's your Leopold scope. It's not working. Or that's, you know, your Hornady ammo is not shooting good, or whatever the case was.
Yeah.
You know, try a different load. There's still companies that are like that. It's like, well, it doesn't shoot that load. You haven't found the right load yet. You need to keep trying and see if you can find something that works in this gun. And I think the idea of us taking the heat and absorbing all of that work was kind of the big nut for, you know, most of the customers that we were chasing. And we brought a ballistic package to bear that would create a custom ballistic turret for that rifle system when we're all done. And so for most guys, you know, out to 400, 500, 600 yards, distances that were completely unheard of for normal mainstream, you know, Western hunters, we would just give them this system that they could just spin this knob and pull the trigger, and there was a dead animal. Like, it was magic.
Yeah.
And shortly after that, we introduced a rangefinder that did the ballistic corrections for air density and incline, but still gave you a shoot-to range to use a ballistic turret. Because as hunters, like, we speak in the language of distance. Mm-hmm. Like, you pull up the rangefinder, the first thing you say is how far it is, right? Yeah. Maybe you got something that gives you a calculation, and now you start talking minutes and this and that. But we talk in distance. And so I think that, you know, that system, that kit that was just really easy, it was really turnkey, and it was really new, it got a lot of momentum. And we had this nexus about, oh, shucks, it was probably about halfway in, you know, maybe not even 10 years in, where we had to say, All right, this is fun. We're making some money. This is exciting. People are excited. You know, do we optimize this business and make profit, or do we set our sights higher and make something really awesome? Yeah. Which means never taking any profit. So when we decided to reinvest in the grow of the business, I mean, we're almost 100 employees today, and our R&D contributions are very significant in developing new technologies and bringing new things to market, from smart scopes, smart rangefinders, ammo systems, a lot of accessories. Like here's one we've been working on for the last 6 years, is barrels. Within the next year, we'll be making enough barrels that we can start selling barrels to the public. So like we're just contributing in investments in R&D and machining capabilities. And that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. So in the early days, when you came out with this, this system, this product of kind of like a one-stop shop for hunters, shooters, whatever the case is, how did you overcome those who were skeptic about your process and win them over in the long run?
There was probably two major skeptics at the beginning. One of them was the fair chase hunter crowd that believed that there was something wrong about shooting an animal that was far away, right? There was that crowd. There was another one that didn't believe that a ballistic turret was a good solution, and really didn't like how easy and how accessible we were making that ability to shoot at distance. Yeah. It was kind of like the old boys club that had figured it out and didn't want anybody else to join in.
Yeah.
So there's those two. So how did we address the second one? Well, first of all, we sold a lot of product and we got a lot of people excited, and naturally that pulls people to emulate and to follow along. And yeah. So I think just leading the way that way, because we made products that worked so well for customers and they had so much success, a lot of people followed along and kind of filled in the gaps. Within 3 or 4 years, every major scope company was offering some type of a ballistic turret solution. So it's the way that hunters work, and it cuts out so many potential problems. The way that we worked on the other side, the skeptics, was with the let's call it the ethical crowd. Mm-hmm. Was we just asked questions and we said, well, what is long range? How far is too far? Right. And basically had that conversation. I think the conversation seemed to work better, and sharing stories. Like, I raised 6 kids and taught most of them how to hunt and shoot, and at least half of them are passionate about it. And, when we could sit down and be steady and take time and take a shot that's 400 yards and make a perfect shot and have a great experience and share that story, couldn't somebody knock that as too far, right? Yeah. 400 yards, is it too far? At the time, there was a question, what was it too far?
Yeah.
But you start just sharing those stories and addressing that, and then coming back to more technology and better solutions, the rangefinder that does a shoot to range that encompasses, air density equations and incline equations and everything. So again, you just push a button that says 450 yards, you dial a 450. Like, it's pretty easy and it's pretty certain, that your outcome is better. And I'd always ask the question, it's like, how many misses happen at close range? Has anybody ever wounded an elk with an arrow? Right? How many wounded elk are on the mountain from archery versus long range rifles?
Yeah.
Right? You just start asking questions and having conversations. And I felt like that addressed it pretty well, bringing more technology and demonstrating success and bringing customers kind of addressed the other side.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So you have this idea, right? And you're getting it out to the masses. But there's, whether it's a product or it's a service, you have to educate your consumer on what it is that you're actually doing, and identifying a problem and trying to tell them, hey, listen, I have a solution for this problem. What was it like educating your consumer that you had a product and a process that was going to solve some of their issues?
You know, I've got to hunt a lot and use our equipment, and that's a blessing, and I'm very grateful for that opportunity. At the same time, we had to film those opportunities and those hunts, and that's how we educated, was we would show people how that worked, and maybe like a quick, you know, discussion of what that shot was with some details so people could understand what that was. So I think changing the paradigm of what is possible was the first step in that education. So basically just flipping the switch on to everybody that's like, oh crap, I want to do this. I could do this. You know, let's do this. Yep. And then the next question is, okay, well, how do I do this? And I think the ease of access of how simple that system works was a really key element of that, because it was so demonstrable. And then we were real early. Like, our first long range shooting course was in 2007, and we've built that into a huge business. We have 3 full-time trainers that work, you know, all year training people on how to shoot long range. So there's a physical education piece to our business that a lot of people don't realize. You know, a guy buys a $14,000 gun, you know, a real smart guy is like, well, how do I get way up the learning curve and get the most value out of this? And they'll go do it.
Yeah.
And they'll come spend 2 to 4 to 8 days with us in different courses that we offer. I think there's another piece of that we were really early in, which is the shooting tips and the YouTube videos. And we put a lot of content out there. We're probably 800 videos on YouTube right now, I'll bet. Like, YouTube's huge for us. And, you know, you can go watch an episode. You can go say, hey, I want to learn about the Yovtos effect or wind, you know, wind mirage, wind reading, you know, setting up with a rear back, how to shoot off a bipod. Like, there's tons of learning stuff there that's all free. We fought probably, I think we may have actually got tired of fighting this, but we fought to license our music and to do all the steps so that YouTube didn't serve our guys up ads. So for the last 10 or 15 years, we didn't, you watch our channel, you didn't get served ads, but I think YouTube's finally maybe winning that effort. So
yeah,
there may actually be some ads there these days, but we never tried to monetize that channel. It was always for, it was intended to be free and accessible.
Gotcha. All right. Who's your demographic?
You know, I like to think, you know, we've spent a lot of time with our customers because we're mostly direct sale, and we have this training program, and a lot of guys come here to pick up rifles and to come get trained. And the guys that I've spent the most time with seem to be professionals that have, you know, or, you know, business people, or, you know, in that demographic of upper middle class that have been successful, finally have enough money and time to where they can, you know, go hunting and take some time off, you know, go to Asia, go do a sheep hunt in Canada, go out west and hunt elk. And they're starting to do that. They're spending time. Maybe they've been putting in and they're starting to draw tags, or maybe they're, you know, their business has finally achieved that point where they can step away a little bit and they have a little extra cash. And maybe they want to be successful and they don't want to waste time. And I think they've come to that realization that time is more precious even than money. And spending time trying to figure out why they're brand X rifle's not shooting. Is it a scope? Is it an ammo? Is it a bedding? Is it a trigger? Like, why is it not shooting? Is it me? They don't know. It's like wasting the time to get that dialed in becomes very painful for this demographic. So I would say it's in that 50 to 60 year old range. It seems like we have the strongest presence, But over the last 3 or 4 years, we've seen a lot of 40, you know, late 30s to 40-year-old people that have achieved a little more success that are able to start doing some of that a little earlier. And those guys are looking for those solutions as well.
Gotcha. Okay. Do you guys have, like, price point, do you happen to have like an average customer spend that you'd be willing to share with us? Like if I call you up and say, hey, I'm ready for a system, what can I expect?
You're talking
to spend?
You're talking single order, right?
Something like that. Yeah.
You're going to break $10,000.
Okay.
You know, there's stuff at the other ends. Like I've seen an order ticket be $28,000.
Yeah.
But we also have a rifle offering that's down in the fours.
Okay.
So if you're really, really careful, you can get access to the cool stuff that we're doing without spending a lot. You start looking at the Revic optics side and you look at some of the rangefinder solutions. We make the best rangefinder in the world. It's the Revic BR4. It's a monocular, it's a handheld, it's kind of geared for the Western hunter, higher magnification. The ranging is just stellar. We make a range finding binocular that is very nice. I prefer that device, but it's $2,600. It's not a $4,000 Swarovski. It's very nice.
Yeah.
And I've seen all, you know, our high end guys that are serious about shooting and killing stuff. They've walked away from their more expensive European binos. Set them aside, and they've picked up that Revic and ran it. So I think there's a really good value matrix there with the range finding, the optics, the combined device, the success that brings. And I'm pretty happy to be able to bring products like that do provide a lot of value for the dollars.
Okay. All right. So how's this process work? All right. Some guy hears this and he goes, okay, I've never heard of Gunworks before. I'm interested. I have the funds to dedicate to this. Where do I start? How do I get the ball rolling?
You know, I'm very conscious of the requirement to provide value for the dollar. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, for me personally, like I don't mind spending money when I have some. I don't mind spending it and buying something nice. The worst thing in the world is buying something and then having remorse for the spend.
Right.
You know, like you go buy a Swarovski pair of glass, you will never regret the spend. Now it might hurt. The dollars that disappear from your wallet might hurt, but you will never regret it because it is the most magnificent optical experience, and they're not necessarily saying they're the best, but they combine so many things that are so pleasant. You can't go wrong. But yeah. For $4,000, a lot of people are like, you know what, I can't get there, and so they start at the other end with maybe another green brand, and they spend $800.
Yeah,
and then pretty quick they realize, you know what, I wish I would have bought something else. And then they're like, okay, well, I can get to 2,000, right? And then like, oh man, I hate this. I wish I would have just bought a little bit better. In the meantime, they just pissed away $2,800, right? But used optics on the lower price point scale, they don't bring a lot on the resale market. So for me, I would rather do the right investment up front and maybe suffer through that pain, but kind of end in the outcome. I did this with a plane. I've been wanting to fly for a long time. Finally got my license, bought a plane, borrowed a bunch of money from the bank. and I bought a nicer plane than probably what I could afford. But you go buy this old clunker plane and then you work on it and you put money into it and you never get the full use out of it. In the meantime, I've just been having a blast with this thing. And I think about the dollars. I probably bought a plane at the peak of the valuation market, the peak of the interest rate market. Like it's the worst time to buy, the worst pain financially you could suffer. But I enjoy that thing so much and it frickin' works so good. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's that it's same mentality. I think making an investment in good gear. I did a backcountry camping trip in my airplane with my wife this week. I flew to Idaho, you know, landed on airstrips out in the middle of nowhere, grass strips, and really, really awesome. But I took my Big Agnes Copper Spur 3 or whatever that tent was. I've had that tent for 10 years. When I bought that, it was probably like $500 or $600. And it hurt to buy that. Like, there was no pro deals for Aaron Davidson on that deal. Mm-hmm. But that tent has been used so much, and it still works. Never torn anything, never had a zipper come apart, never had one failure of that tent in all those years. I was just reflecting on that because I broke it out, and we took that tent, and I was thinking, man, what a great piece of gear that was. And that to me is what I want my products to attain for a customer, whether it's a $1,200 product or a $12,000 product. Is, wow, that was expensive, but I really like what this does for me, and I'm very glad that I made that investment.
Your little one grew 3 inches overnight. Adorable. Also, expensive. Sell their pint-sized pieces on Depop and list them in minutes with no selling fees, because somewhere, a dad refuses to pay full price for the clothes his kids will outgrow tomorrow, and he's ready to buy your son's entire wardrobe right now. Consider your future growth spurt budget secured. Start selling on Depop, where taste recognizes taste. Payment processing fees and boosting fees still apply. See website for details.
Kraft mac and cheese is better than 90s hip-hop. We'll remind you of your childhood without making you feel incredibly old. Kraft mac and cheese, best thing ever.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, man. I bought a $680 sleeping bag, and when I told my wife how much it cost, she about shit her pants. Okay, but I will say this: it is superb. I mean, it is comfortable. It is everything that I want in a 0 degree sleeping bag. Okay. It has a huge range. I can use it wherever and however I want. And it's comfortable. And like, it's short term, ouch, long term, thank you type of deal.
Yeah.
Right. And so, Okay. But now getting into the actual details of your business. So I hear what you're saying, and you're like, okay, expect to spend somewhere around 10 G's. What comes with $10,000? If for me, if I think I'm going to spend $10,000, I want access to a human being that I can bounce ideas off.
That's what we do. Yep, it's what we do. Okay. So you're going to – probably the best way is you go to the website. You get an idea for what you're looking at, right? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's so much BS in the world, on the internet, on forums, that you have to be really careful. You don't let your ideas that you've created lock you into a direction, because somebody's going to come say, I want a 4.5 gun that's a 28 nozzler that shoots 1500 yards, right? That's what somebody's going to ask for. But when you call us up, I've got about a half dozen guys, kick butt guys that are shooters, hunters. I mean, three of these guys started in the manufacturing side. Like, two of them shot guns to finish guns for years. So when they tell you, hey, you don't want that combo, like, they know what they're talking about. So they're going to give you some recommendations based on real experience. We've got some hardcore hunters in there, you know, that have had successes and failures that they can speak to. But you're going to call up, the guy's going to talk to you. He's going to ask you all sorts of questions about what are you hunting? Where are you hunting? You know, what kind of hunting trips have you had? What kind of pain points have you gone through? You know, what's your experience level, et cetera. They're going to learn all about you. And then you're going to tell them what you think that you want. And sometimes you're spot on. Like, you're right there. Like, you've done the research, you've got good data, you're in the ballpark. And sometimes, you know, they might, you know, have to take on a little campaign to convince you that you want something that's just a little different. Or you can find a little more optimum solution. That way you can have some trust and faith that you're going to, that spend that you make is, you know, isn't going to result in, oh shoot, I wish I would have done something different. You know, one of the big questions is, are you just going to buy one? Do you think you're just going to buy one,
Or do you think someday you might have two? Because I feel that it's hard to make one gun be the right gun for everything. Yeah. But you can make something that kind of lands in the middle. But if you could say, I want two guns, I want a mountain rifle and I want a long range rifle, that informs a different decision matrix for the kind of guns that you set up. So I think those guys will go through that whole discussion process, really try to dial in on that. And then they'll start making some recommendations. They'll build a couple quotes, let you process and stew on it. I don't feel like we run a high pressure organization. My guys aren't sophisticated, you know, sales manipulators. They're more like, okay, here's what I think you should do. Here's what it looks like it would cost. You know, here's how long it would take to deliver it. And, you know, let me know if you want to, you know, take action. Yeah. And like, it's a pretty low pressure process. We do have some really great dealers that would have product available. I think that's another option you can go to. And then we've created this training program. And, you know, we used to be so new that people would be like, I just got to see if this is real. And they would sign up and they would come to the event. And then every single one of those guys would buy a gun because they were just waiting to see if it was a real thing. And when it was real, they were like, I'm in. So you'd book 12 guys and you'd sell 12 guns. It was pretty cool. And nowadays we get a lot of guys that are buying the weapons, on the trust or on a repeat purchase or whatever. And then they'll come and experience the school and get training on their weapon. But I've been really careful to take this level one course that we have. It's a 2-day course, and then you do level 2, 3, et cetera. You take this level one course, and the core content of that course is, this is how you set up a gun for long range. And we're not doing silly stuff like how to mount a scope. I mean, that's not what this is about. This is, how does a ballistic program work? How do you make it work? What do the parameters mean? And then how would you, you know, go about mapping out a gun and building the ballistic tools that you need to be able to shoot long range with any gun.
Right.
And so what that course is it's basically how to go set up anybody else's gun, including what you have in your cabinet, to shoot long range. And essentially my sales guys and my training guys, they have separate functions. Training guys teach people how to do stuff. Sales guys sell stuff. So our training guys, their job isn't to sell you guns. Their job is to teach you how to shoot long range or to teach you how to set up a long range gun. And so that first course, I think, is a really, really safe entry for somebody that's interested in starting, because you go sign up for that course, you leave, you're either going to say, you know what, I'm in, I'm buying a gun or a rifle. Like, I know I can set one up. I see what is behind the scenes of setting up a long range rifle. It's like, I'm just going to go that route. I can do it if I want to, but I don't need to because I've got other things I can do. But at the same time, it could be, you know what? You know, this is a $1,200 investment, and all of a sudden, I'm not going to waste any time, you know, setting up my, you know, Seekins with a Vortex, and I know how to get there. I know how to check it. I know how to diagnose when there's an issue. Like, I have the skill sets now to go do this, and that's my approach. And we're fine with that, because the truth is you're probably going to buy a rangefinder because we make pretty superior products on that side, or something else. Like, you will be a customer. You'll come back and get trained again on the next level. You'll do advanced wind with us. You'll do mountain shooting. Like a customer is a customer regardless of what scale. Like, we're all about it. Even our bipod, we make the best mountain shooting bipod. It's $395 bucks. And so, like, anybody can play with us regardless of where you're going.
Yeah. Okay. How involved do your clients need to be throughout this entire process?
I would really like to see them get active once the product gets in their hands. Like, if you can have some faith that our guys aren't going to steer you wrong on a recommendation, like, you could be at one 30-minute conversation, order's done, and it's in motion.
Yeah.
Delivery and pickup, we coordinate all that stuff. It's very straightforward. You're going to probably have one conversation at the end of the build cycle, do a final payment, make sure we coordinate an FFL shipment.
We'll deliver it. You'll get some notifications. You go pick it up, fill out your 4473. You're done. It's really, really easy mm-hmm. to do it.
Yeah. Now, do you guys put any rounds through the finished product before you hand it over to the end user?
It's a requirement to do that for a couple of reasons. Number one, we want to make sure that everything works, and you would be shocked at how many times we go to shoot a gun and it's not going to pass. It's not going to work. And we either have to work on it or we have to fix something on it or whatever the case is. So to me, that final step of shooting and proving function and performance, like, it's mandatory. Absolutely mandatory. I couldn't imagine sending a gun out without doing that, because there's so many variables involved in building a gun that if you don't prove it, like, and you leave that aspect for the customer to do, like, he's not going to be able to diagnose. He's not going to be able to fix it. It's not a good experience. And you see a lot of forum reports about companies that do high volume manufacture, that do ship products out, that take some work to get set up and working. I think the second piece of that is the ballistics capture. And we call it trajectory validation, but it's basically you have to measure the performance of the gun so that you can customize the ballistic solution of that gun with that ammo and that optic, et cetera. So that piece of it absolutely requires shooting.
Yeah. Do you guys ever have instances where someone already has a rifle and they like, dude, I love this rifle, or it has some kind of sentimental value to them that they send to you and then you work on it?
Yeah. We stay away from gunsmithing. So if your rifle's a piece of crap, we're not going to be able to do anything for you. But let's say you bought a nice rifle like a Seekins, and it's going to shoot good, right? And you've shot it. It works good. You're happy with it. But you don't want to come invest the time in the course. You just want to get something that's turnkey. You can send that to us, and we'll do what we call a scope mount and data collection package on there. So we'll mount a scope. We'll validate it with the ammo. We'll measure all the ballistic parameters, build a custom turret, send it back to the customer. So that is a package we do. We've done a lot of them. We've had a lot of experience with other weapons.
Gotcha.
We require something that works.
Yeah. Okay. What's the time frame from the time I have a phone call with you guys to the time it shows up at my door?
You know, for the last 5 or 6 years, you know, our idea was take this billion different combinations that we can make and deliver it as fast as possible. And we averaged around 60 days. One year, our average was 48 days from order to delivery on rifle systems. But we're managing these massive SKUs. Inventory's absolutely getting out of control. I mean, our inventory doubled in the last 4 years, like, huge inventory. And I realized that we could satisfy a lot of that quick turn demand by building to stock our high performing, you know, most popular either recommendations or purchases, and then extending a little bit our build time. So this year we tried a new system. I think we're a 5-month delivery time on a custom make to order rifle. But we stock about 150 different rifles at any given point that are in different build configurations. And generally, like, unless you've got a specific color requirement or something like that, generally you can buy exactly what you want and it's in the mail 2 or 3 days later.
My day kicks off with a refreshing Celsius energy drink, then straight to the gym. Pre-K pickup, back home to meal prep. Time for my fire station shift. One more Celsius, gotta keep the lights on. When the 3 alarm hits, I'm ready. Celsius, live, fit, go. Grab a cold, refreshing Celsius at your local retailer or locate now at Celsius.com.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit BestWestern.com for complete terms and conditions.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of getting into a different lane of questioning here. I've heard you talk about multiple, you know, like multiple weapons or different, like I know some hardcore gun guys and they have a gun for every scenario. Is there such thing as a multi-purpose rifle?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. If a guy says, hey, I just want a rifle I can do everything with, and I'm going to buy once, I'm going to cry once, I don't have a budget to do a whole safe full of these things, we're going to put him into one of the 7mm. We're going to give him a gun that's a reasonable weight that it's not going to beat him up on a mountain hike. But if he's got a long cross canyon hunt, it's heavy enough. He can, you know, recover from the recoil and get some good, you know, shooter spotting capability out of it. So you're probably going to end up in a Magnus or a Nexus. You're going to end up with a 7 PRC, 7 REM mag. You know, a guy's going to want a Nosler, but we're going to push him down in a little bit smaller cartridge. And then we're going to try to build him a gun that's around 9 pounds-ish overall weight with scope. So it's a good middle ground that you could take on any hunt and be in any scenario and be successful.
Okay. This is a question I probably should have asked at the beginning of the podcast, but what is the definition of long range shooting?
Me personally, I think it's when you have to start correcting for the bullet drop.
Okay.
So if you're correcting for bullet drop, then you're long range shooting. Mm-hmm. And I think that starts happening pretty much around 300 yards, kind of in that ballpark, 350.
Okay. I believe it was a 1900 yard elk kill one year on YouTube, and I'm not sure who shot it but I'm almost positive it was 1900 yards, right? And I look at that, I'm a bow hunter, and I just can't even fathom that distance. Where do you guys or the long range hunter, like, is there a yardage or something that starts? I mean, I'm talking about when people start to get fired up. Like, I shot this deer or this elk past X number of yards, and it's like, okay, well, if it's 300, it's okay, but if it's 350, now you're whatever. Like, what's the yardage people start to get pissed off about?
If you're running a Tika and a burst full field two with a holdover reticle that gets you to 300 or 400 yards, and you got a really cool deer tag that you drew in Utah, and you're hunting and you're stomping around out there in the desert, you're trying to find this big deer, and you finally find one, and you're stalking in on him, and then somebody else shoots him out of his bed from 800 or 900 yards. Well, that guy's going to say, you know what, 800 or 900 yards is too damn far to shoot, you know, at deer, right?
Right.
This is the key thing about long range shooting. I call bullshit on the 1900 yards. So I'm a long range guy. Mm-hmm. Bullshit.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, and I'll explain why. Not because of my feelings, but I think that as shooters, we should have a standard of expected performance.
Okay.
And let's call that hit probability.
Okay.
Right? And so we can argue about what hit probability is acceptable or not. But if I said 50%, would you say that's good or bad? Just you personally.
Well,
you have a 50-50 chance you're actually going to hit it well and kill it versus not.
Versus I look not. At that and I say that's not good.
Not good. How about 90%?
That's better, yes.
I think 90% is pretty damn high. You can't be a lot more sure than that, I think, in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
What about 80%?
And so, like, for me, I'm my mind right now is going back to archery and how close I personally set up to deer.
Oh, yeah. It applies to archery. It applies to rifle. It applies to all that.
Yeah.
And muzzle loader, everything.
Like, for me, I go, what am I personally capable of?
Yes.
And
not capable. Because 60% of the time you're capable of making that shot, 40% of the time not.
Yeah.
Does that, you're capable 60% of the time. To me, that's low. 80% for me personally starts to get at the bottom end of what I would consider a doable shot for myself. So I think somewhere in that 85% range, we cross this threshold of ethical, you know, responsibility to shoot well, to kill well. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think most people around a campfire are going to come to a number that's very close to that.
Yeah.
Now, that means that there's a chance that we don't shoot well. Mm-hmm. But we've done all the work. We've set up our equipment. We've practiced. You can't control everything, but yeah. We have invested the time to do the best we can, and you can't be 100%. Mm-hmm. So that number, let's say that's the number, right? Let's say it's 85% or above. So now you have to come to that shot opportunity, because there's 400-yard shots where you might not have an 85% hit probability. And in that scenario, you either need to get closer or you need to pass and move on and wait for another day.
Right.
But there's scenarios that I've been on where a 1,200-yard shot was better than 85% hit probability. Mm-hmm. Better than.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key. It has nothing to do with the distance. It has everything to do with the hit probability for you to make that first shot count.
Yeah.
And make it happen. Long shots, in my opinion, are just as much bragging potential as big horn or yeah. big antler.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a lot, you know, sometimes you get lucky and shoot something big, but a lot of times big stuff comes from the hard effort and the knowledge and years of skills development that has allowed you to be successful and to pass smaller stuff so that you can take a big trophy.
Right.
And it's the same thing with a long shot. I mean, sometimes people get lucky, but hopefully people are taking shots that are inside of their capabilities. And then to me, that also demonstrates the hard effort, the years of learning and skills development that enabled you to make that shot. So for me, like a perfect shot is just as valuable as a big trophy.
Okay.
Like I think if somebody's telling you about this long shot they take, the first question I ask is, how many shots did it take? That guy that shot 1,900 yards at an elk, I will bet a big old juicy steak dinner that he didn't do that in one shot.
Yeah.
There's another piece of that, which is a scientific piece, which talks about terminal performance, how bullets work, you know, how wound cavities kill, and kind of what it takes to make sure that bullet works at the distance or the scenario that you're shooting.
Yeah.
There are not any hunting combinations that I know of that can deliver the scientific requirements for performance to ensure adequate wound cavity size, good thoracic cavity destruction, and a good bleed out and kill. So I would say we can probably look at it from a scientific point of view and the terminal performance thresholds of different bullets, that was outside. And we've taken some shots that were like that. My son killed an elk at a long distance once with a 7-rem mag. And, you know, we looked at the bullet performance. We watched what happened there. And I think at that point we decided, you know what? The science is true. It really works. If you stay inside of these thresholds, you get this performance. You go outside, here's what happens. Yeah. So we learned a lot on that one. We pushed some boundaries, and it really, really matters to understand, you know, what your system is capable of as well as what you're capable of.
Yeah, that's a great point there. Now I got to play devil's advocate here for a second, because even in the archery world, you start talking about ethics, right? And like the more you talk about ethics, the more you find out it's not black and white. It's a gray area. And so for those out there who say that, you know, that animal has no chance to defend itself. It can't use its eyes. It can't use its ears or scent at 1,000 yards or whatever.
This is the gayest argument in the whole world. Because if you take, like, I'm an engineer. So you take something and you test it at the limits mm-hmm. of the argument. So what are these guys hunting with? Just give me an idea. What are they hunting with?
I have no idea. Like,
it's probably it's a compound bow with a dial sight and, you know, super arrows and stuff. And I say, well, if that's truly the case, why aren't you hunting with a spear? Mm-hmm. Like, to truly give the animal a chance to defend itself or to escape, it's like the ultimate would be a spear or a short knife. Yeah. It's like, why are you not doing that? Why are you taking advantage of this technology? It's so hypocritical for somebody to do that. It absolutely is. And I firmly believe that our only responsibility is to kill well. It is not to give the animal a chance. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. We're humans. We're apex predators. No animal has any chance against us in any situation, period. That's the dumbest thing in the world.
Yeah.
We own this world. We control everything. Mm-hmm. That argument is false. What we can do is we can try to make sure that we make a perfect shot and we make a fast, perfect kill. That, yeah, to me, is way more important and trumps all that bullshit other arguments that you have. That perfect shot and perfect kill is, to me, the most important thing. And I think that an animal at 400 yards that's feeding, that's not pushed, that's not aware, right, where you have time to set up, you have time to go through your checklist, you have time to make sure everything's perfect, time to wait for it to present the right broadside, mm-hmm, and then take a shot that executes perfection, that is, to me, what everything is about. Like, yeah, we're out there to kill. That is the ultimate goal, and we have a responsibility to kill well. Contrast that against somebody that's like, well, I'm going to stalk in the forest, and I'm going to jump shoot a deer, and I'm close, right? So it's like, it's more ethical, right, because it's close, and the animal's got all of its senses and awareness about him. And so you do that, and you jump shoot one, and you swing on him, and you throw lead, and you shoot it in the guts, and it runs off, and it dies a horrible death. Tell me that that's more ethical.
Right.
Yeah. Not. It's not, yeah, at all.
Yeah. Great point. Great point. Yeah, it's just fun to hear. So was it the Boone and Crockett Club? They put limitations on what, as far as how far you shot that animal. Is that the case?
I've heard rumors there. I've had guys tell me that they're anti, and then you have some board members that are realistic and they realize that's not the case. So
yeah.
I think they've kind of been wishy-washy a little bit the last few years.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like, I don't.
Do they even matter anymore?
That's the thing.
They're completely irrelevant. They're not even a real organization. They don't do anything for anybody anywhere. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, and they use their
score sheet. That's it.
Right. And that's the thing that I can get on board with big time is, okay, you measure deer and you put your name in a book. What's that mean? Maybe it used to mean something back in the day when initially these organizations were set up, but that's, I'll get on a soapbox here pretty soon, and then there's no stopping it. So, all right, last question. I'll let you go. If somebody hears this podcast and like has any questions or is really thinking about Gunworks, why should they literally and figuratively pull the trigger on Gunworks and make the move?
I think probably the most significant reason to do that is our willingness to invest in not just product, but in our customer satisfaction, yields and experience that in the whole is significantly different than what you're going to get with any other company.
And once they find out, you know, once they want to go check out Gunworks, where do we send them?
So you got to remember, we spell ours with an E. That's a trademarked word mark. So Gunworks with an E, GUNWERKS. You plug that into Google or whatever browser you're using, it'll pop up our website. And probably our YouTube channel. And I think that's two really cool places to go to. Our website will serve up a lot of our content, whether it's podcasts, TV show episodes, shooting tips, etc., or YouTube as well. Same kind of selection of content. You know, just consuming some content and getting a feel for us and what we do, why we do it, you know, how we do it. I mean, there's tons of, you know, factory footage. There's tons of video of us and, you know, the employees, you know, hunting together or doing adventures. You'll get a sense that this is very authentic, that we're not some, you know, big, you know, corporate owned, VC funded, you know, entity. This is a real bunch of people in Cody, Wyoming, that are busting their butts every day to make good products and to satisfy our customers. Yeah. And if you start digging around on the products, you know, and building some different configurations and getting a feel for, you know, what does that look like? And then you kind of take it to the next step and call and talk to somebody, kind of validate your ideas and maybe, you know, get a little input on some suggestions, kind of refine that into the perfect system or the perfect training experience or, you know, accessory, and then we'll take care of you.
Absolutely. Well, Skip, man, I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to hop on and school us on Gunworks, man. Thanks for your time, and enjoy the rest of your week.
You're welcome. Thanks again for the opportunity.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.